Chapter 46. I heard voices speaking somewhere nearby. My head was killing me, and my face felt tight and swollen. I could feel warmth on my right side and smelled the scent of burning wood. A fire popped and crackled. The ground beneath me was hard, but not cold. I was lying on blankets or something.
"Really no point to doing anything but waiting," Ebenezer said. "Sure, they're under a roof, but it's leaking. And if nothing else, morning should take care of it."
"Aye, Ancient Mai muttered. "I'm sure we could counter it easily enough."
"Not without risk," Ebenezer said in a reasonable tone. "Morgan isn't going anywhere. What's the harm in waiting for the shield to fall?"
"I do not care for this place," Ancient Mai replied. "Its feng shui is unpleasant. And if the child was no warlock, she would have lowered the shield by now."
"No," came Molly's voice. It sounded weirdly modulated, as if being filtered through 50 feet of corrugated pipe in a kazoo. "I'm not dropping the shield until Harry says it's okay." After a brief pause, she added,
Besides, I'm not sure how."
A voice belonging to one of the wardens said, "Maybe we could tunnel beneath it." I exhaled slowly, licked my cracked lips, and said,
"Don't bother. It's a sphere."
"Oh," Molly said. "Oh, thank God, Harry."
I sat up slowly, and before I had moved more than an inch or two, Injun Joe was supporting me.
"Easy, son," he said. "Easy. You've lost some blood, and you've got a knot on your head that would knock off a hat."
I felt really dizzy while he said that, but I stayed up. He passed me a canteen, and I drank, slowly and carefully, one swallow at a time. Then I opened my eyes and glanced around me. We were all in the ruined cottage. I sat on the floor near the fireplace. Ebenezer sat on the hearth in front of the fireplace. His old wooden staff leaned up against one shoulder. Ancient Mai stood on the opposite side of the cottage from me, flanked by four wardens. Morgan lay on the bedroll where I'd left him, unconscious or asleep, and Molly sat cross-legged on the floor beside him, holding the quartz crystal in both hands. It shimmered with a calm white light that illuminated the interior of the cottage much more thoroughly than the fire did, and a perfectly circular dome of light the size of a small camping tent enclosed both Morgan and my apprentice in a bubble of defensive energy.
"Hey," I said to Molly.
"Hey,"
she said back.
I guess it worked, huh?"
Her eyes widened.
"You didn't know if it would?"
"The design was sound," I said. "I just never had a chance to field test it."
"Oh," Molly said.
It worked,"
I grunted. Then I looked up at Ebenezer.
"Sir?"
"Hoss," he said. "Glad you could join us."
"We waste time," Ancient Mai said. She looked at me and said, "Tell your apprentice to drop the shield at once."
"In a minute."
Her eyes narrowed, and the wardens beside her looked a little more alert. I ignored her and asked Molly,
"Where's Thomas?"
"With his family," said a calm voice. I looked over my shoulder to see Lara Wraith standing in the doorway, a slender shape wrapped in one of the blankets from a bunk on the water beetle.
She looked as pale and lovely as ever, though her hair had been burned down close to her scalp. Without it to frame her face, there was a greater sense of sharp, angular gauntness to her features, and her gray eyes seemed even larger and more distinct.
"Don't worry, Dresden. Your cat's paw will live to be manipulated another day. My people are taking care of him."
I tried to find something in her face that would tell me anything else about Thomas. It wasn't there. She just watched me coolly.
"There, vampire," Ancient Mai said politely. "You have seen him and spoken to him. What follows is council business."
Lara smiled faintly at Ancient Mai and turned to me.
"One more thing before I go, Harry. Do you mind if I borrow the blanket?"
"What if I do?" I asked.
She let it slip off one pale shoulder.
"I'd give it back, of course."
The image of the swollen, bruised, burned creature that had kissed Madeline Wraith as it pulled out her entrails returned to my thoughts vividly.
"Keep it," I told her.
She smiled again, this time showing teeth, and bowed her head. Then she turned and left. I idly followed her progress down to the shore, where she walked out onto the floating dock and was gone. I looked at Ebenezer.
What happened? He grunted. Whoever came through the Never Never opened a gate about 100 yards back in the trees, he said, and he brought about 100 big old shaggy spiders with him.
I blinked and frowned.
Spiders?
Ebenezer nodded.
Not conjured forms either. They were the real thing, from fairy, maybe. Gave us a real hard time. Some of them started webbing the trees while the others kept us busy trying to trap us in.
Didn't want us getting behind them to whoever opened the gate, Listens to Wind said.
Didn't want anyone to see who it was, more likely, I said. That was our perp. That was the killer.
Maybe, Ebenezer said quietly, nodding.
As soon as those trees and the webbing came down, we started pushing the spiders back. He ran. And once he was gone, the spiders scattered too.
Damn it, I said quietly.